Okay, so have you ever like wondered if companies could be sued for not making like safer cigarettes sooner?
Oh yeah, that's a really interesting question, particularly with all the discussion around like light cigarettes and stuff.
Right, exactly. Like, what if those safer options weren't as satisfying for smokers? You know, would that matter legally?
Yeah, that gets to the heart of product liability and consumer expectations.
And that's actually what we're diving into today. It's a fascinating case called Adama V. Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corp.
Ah, yes, Adamo, a classic case that really digs into those questions about safer alternatives and consumer satisfaction.
So to set the stage, this case is all about whether cigarette manufacturers had a legal duty to design and market cigarettes with lower tar and nicotine.
And whether they could be held liable for not doing so sooner.
Right. And a key point of contention was whether these safer cigarettes needed to be equally satisfying to smokers.
Which raises all sorts of interesting questions about how you define satisfaction in the context of a product like cigarettes.
For sure. And the whole case really revolves around the story of Norma Rose.
Oh, yes, Norma Rose. Her story is really the backdrop for this whole legal battle.
So Norma Rose, she was a heavy smoker for over 40 years.
Wow, 40 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, and she ended up quitting in 1993 and then was diagnosed with lung cancer just a couple years later in 1995.
So she sued the major tobacco companies, arguing that they were negligent in their product design.
Exactly. Her argument was that they should have offered these lower tar and nicotine cigarettes earlier.
Which is interesting because it kind of implies that if those options had been available, she might not have gotten sick.
Right. It all hinges on that idea of choice and whether smokers were given enough options.
And whether those options were actually viable alternatives, you know.
Yet, and get this, she actually won her case initially. The jury sided with her and awarded her damages.
Oh, wow. Really? So the jury agreed that the tobacco companies were negligent?
They did, but hold on, because that victory was short-lived.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, the appellate courts, they reversed the jury's decision.
So it went up on appeal and they overturned the original verdict.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting, legally speaking.
Because this reversal led to a pretty fundamental legal question that the New York Court of Appeals had to grapple with.
Okay, so what was the big question that the court had to answer?
Well, it boils down to this in a negligent design case, especially one involving a product like cigarettes with inherent risks.
Yeah.
Do the plaintiffs need to prove that a proposed safer alternative, in this case, light cigarettes, actually maintains the utility of the original product?
Utility. So, like, how useful is the product for its intended purpose?
Right. But here's the thing with cigarettes. The court really focused on what that utility meant for the consumer.
Okay, so it wasn't just about like whether the light cigarette functioned as a cigarette, it was about the experience.
Exactly. They zeroed in on this concept of consumer satisfaction, or as the court put it, gratifying smokers' desires for a certain experience.
Okay, so that adds a whole other layer to this case.
It does. And to prove negligent design under New York law, plaintiffs have to meet a two-pronged test.
Okay, so what are the two things they need to show?
First, they have to demonstrate that a safer design was actually feasible at the time of the injury.
So in this case, they had to prove that it was possible to make light cigarettes back when Norma Rose was smoking.
Exactly. And the fact that light cigarettes eventually came to market pretty much settled that part of the test.
Okay, so that one was kind of straightforward.
Yeah, but the second prong is where things got trickier.
What was the second part?
The plaintiffs also had to prove that the alternative design, the safer design, actually maintained the product's utility.
And this is where that whole idea of consumer satisfaction comes in.
Precisely. Because the court ultimately found that the plaintiffs didn't adequately prove that light cigarettes were satisfying to smokers as regular cigarettes.
So even if they were safer in terms of tar and nicotine, if they didn't deliver the same experience, it wasn't enough.
Exactly. And the court actually noted that it was virtually uncontested that smokers generally preferred regular cigarettes over light cigarettes.
Interesting. So the court basically acknowledged that there was a difference in the experience.
Yeah. And that difference was enough to sink the negligent design claim because the plaintiffs couldn't prove that the safer alternative truly fulfilled the same needs and desires.
Okay, so even though light cigarettes might have been objectively safer from a purely chemical standpoint, the court didn't consider them a viable alternative because smokers didn't find them equally satisfying?
Precisely. And that's really at the heart of the majority opinion written by Judge Smith.
So what was Judge Smith's main argument?
Well, he basically emphasized the court's reluctance to ban a legal product through tort law, in this case, regular cigarettes.
So they didn't want to use this case to effectively outlaw a product that was already being sold legally.
Right. And they felt that such decisions with such broad societal impact should be left to the legislature.
Which makes sense, because lawmakers are better equipped to consider all the different policy angles.
Exactly. And since the plaintiffs couldn't prove that light cigarettes provided the same satisfaction, the court wasn't willing to hold the tobacco companies liable for not making them the only option.
Right. But I remember you mentioning that there was a dissenting opinion in this case.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Judge Piggott had a very different perspective.
So what was Judge Piggott's take on all of this?
Well, his main point was that the plaintiffs had already proven that a safer design was feasible.
So he agreed that light cigarettes were a possible alternative.
Yeah, he did. And he strongly disagreed with putting the burden on the plaintiffs to also prove consumer preference.
So he thought it was enough to show that a safer option existed.
Exactly. His argument was basically, look, they've shown a safer design was possible. If the tobacco companies wanted to argue that light cigarettes weren't commercially viable, that they wouldn't sell, then they should have been the ones to prove that.
Interesting. So he was shifting the burden of proof.
He was. And he actually advocated for a new trial where the defendants, the tobacco companies, would have to make the case that light cigarettes wouldn't have been successful in the market.
That's a really interesting legal nuance. Who has to prove what?
It is, and it really highlights this tension in product liability law.
Yeah, because on one hand, you have the plaintiffs who need to show that a safer alternative exists and is viable.
But then on the other hand, you have the defendants who might need to argue that a safer option wouldn't actually work in the real world.
And the Adamo decision has implications that go beyond just tobacco.
Oh, absolutely. It makes you think about other products where the primary function isn't necessarily about a specific task, but more about pleasure or enjoyment.
Like what kind of products are you thinking of?
Well, things like alcohol or even fast food come to mind.
Okay, so let's say hypothetically someone sued a bourbon distillery for not making a lower alcohol bourbon.
Okay, I'm following.
Would they need to prove that this lower alcohol version is just as enjoyable to bourbon drinkers as the original?
That's exactly the kind of question the Adamo case raises.
So if people didn't find the lower alcohol bourbon as satisfying, then it wouldn't necessarily be considered a viable alternative.
Right, because in that case, the utility of bourbon, the thing that makes it desirable, is that specific sensory experience.
And if a safer version doesn't deliver that same experience, it might not meet the legal standard for a negligent design claim.
Exactly. It all comes back to that idea of consumer satisfaction.
Okay, so to wrap this all up, what are the key takeaways from the Adamo case that our listeners should remember?
Well, there are a few big things. First, this case introduces this concept of consumer satisfaction as the utility for products where the main purpose is gratification.
So it's not just about function, it's about the feeling the product provides.
Right. And second, it emphasizes that plaintiffs in these types of cases have a double burden of proof. They need to show that a safer design was both feasible and that it maintains the essential utility of the original product.
Which, as we've seen, might mean proving that it's equally satisfying to consumers.
Exactly. And third, the majority opinion in Adamo really highlights a principle of judicial restraint.
Meaning they were hesitant to use tort law to effectively ban a legal product.
Right. They felt that those kinds of decisions were better left to lawmakers.
Makes sense. And finally, we can't forget Judge Piggott's dissenting opinion.
Right. His argument about who needs to prove the commercial viability of a safer alternative is really important to consider.
So much to think about. So for all the aspiring lawyers out there, what's the practical application of this case?
Well, for law students studying product liability, Adamo is a crucial case to understand. It really underscores the importance of looking at the purpose of a product when analyzing design defect claims.
So you need to consider whether a safer design would actually meet the needs and desires of the people using it.
Exactly. Especially if it's a product where pleasure or enjoyment is a primary factor.
This whole discussion has been so insightful. It really highlights this tension between tort law and the realities of consumer preferences.
It does. And it leaves us with this thought-provoking question: should manufacturers of products that are inherently risky but also pleasurable be held to a different standard?
Even if a safer alternative might not be as appealing to consumers.
It's a complex question with no easy answers. And Adamo really forces us to confront these issues head on.
Really makes you think about the balance between safety and satisfaction.
Absolutely. And that's something we all need to grapple with as consumers and as future legal professionals.
Thanks for breaking all of that down. It's been a fascinating deep dive into the world of product liability and consumer expectations.
My pleasure. It's always great to unpack these complex legal issues.
For sure. And for our listeners out there, keep those wheels turning and consider how a demo might shape the future of product design and consumer protection.
It's a case that's sure to have a lasting impact on the legal landscape.
Absolutely. All right, until next time, keep exploring those legal frontiers and stay curious.
Always stay curious.